what's the best way to judge a public school? Of course, you could do a tour, you could talk to parents, you could check out websites that rank each school. Pennsylvania used to run one of those sites, but state leaders think it's time to take a different approach. Keystone Crossroads' Avi Wolfman-Arendt explores the rationale and whether parents will get on board.
A couple of years ago, Jean Rauscher was at a familiar crossroads. Her oldest child was about to start school, and the family wanted to move.
And we can't visit everywhere, so thank God for the internet.
Rauscher's first move was to open up a web browser.
I literally Googled best elementary schools in the USA.
She stumbled on a bunch of websites.
Grade Schools, Niche, School Digger, US News, and World Report.
All of these sites are a little different, but they each try to judge school quality. And they each attach an overall score, letter grade, or ranking to schools across the country.
It's so helpful to have that one number. This elementary school is a 10, this elementary school is an 8.
Schools in the Tredyffrin Easttown District in suburban Philadelphia rate really highly. And so eventually that's where the family moved. When we met at a coffee shop recently, Rauscher showed me some of the data that clinched her decision.
Look at that college readiness, 10 out of 10. That's what I'm talking about.
Pennsylvania used to be in the school ranking game. In 2013, the state started assigning school performance profile scores, which went from 0 to more than 100. That kind of scoring used to be required by the feds. Then the law changed, and Governor Tom Wolf's administration says it started to rethink its approach after holding meetings across the state.
The message we heard loud and clear, there is no single way to measure student success.
That's the video tutorial for a site introduced last month, the Future Ready PA Index. Under this new setup, each school has a profile page with a bunch of categories on it. Some measure attendance, some relate to test scores, others gauge college and career readiness. And schools receive a blue, green, or red rating for each. But unlike the old method, there's no scoring system. Matthew Stem is the state's Deputy Secretary for Elementary and Secondary Education.
Even with a single summative score, most individuals acknowledge the fact that they really didn't know what that number meant. And so although it may have been easy to make some assumptions, in most cases those assumptions didn't tell a full and complete story.
Researcher Jack Schneider from the University of Massachusetts at Lowell studies school evaluation and understands why parents gravitate towards websites that rank schools.
The paradigm has been shaped by services like Yelp and TripAdvisor, but schools don't lend themselves to this sort of rating. Schools are highly complex. They're more like ecosystems than like hotel rooms.
And there's another problem with school rating systems, Schneider says. They're heavily reliant on standardized test scores and closely correlated with student poverty.
Looking, for instance, at student standardized test scores tends to tell you more about a student's background, about his or her parents, social situation, neighborhood environment, than it does about the schooling experience that child is having.
To fact-check this, Keystone Crossroads analyzed the scores for every school in Pennsylvania, as given by the popular site Great Schools, and compared them with each school's student poverty numbers. The results were clear. High ratings correlate strongly with low poverty, and vice versa. So as Schneider sees it, these ratings don't really tell you how good the teachers are or how good the curriculum is. They just tell you whether a school has a lot of wealthy kids who are more likely to score well on tests. Those test scores become ratings, which then attract more wealthy people.
In fact, what we can see is that information is leading people to self-segregate.
Parent Jean Rauscher understands these rating systems might be biased towards schools in wealthy districts with hyper-involved parents.
I mean, there's no way to completely filter out the bias, right?
And besides, she says, that bias could be a good thing.
That's going to be your community. People who want their kids to learn and do really well and go to really good colleges. I don't have a problem with that.
Of course, all these trends predate the internet era. And Sam Olivieri says the 47 million people who visit greatschools.org every year are just looking for useful information to make important decisions.
The easiest way for them to have a clear takeaway is through an overall summary measure.
Olivieri is Great Schools' chief strategy officer. And she points out that there's lots of other info on the nonprofit's website besides that one big number. There's data on equity, attendance, class size, all presented in a user-friendly way.
If you build it, they won't necessarily come. So just putting a website out there does not mean that you have actually effectively empowered parents with this information.
Researcher Jack Schneider actually agrees. He thinks privately run sites have outfoxed state governments when it comes to getting parents' attention. And as for Pennsylvania's new site,
I think that what the state did is laudable, but I do this for a living, and I spent maybe 15 minutes on it and struggled for a while to figure out what I was looking at.
Four other states have joined Pennsylvania and scrapped their one-score rating systems. The question is whether states can design something more nuanced without alienating the people they're supposed to help. Avi Wolfman-Arendt, Keystone Crossroads.